if it's happening in New York or across the globe. Learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
It does not matter the race that that's in question, whether it's the DA race, city council race, mayor's race, and all of those are up this year here in New York City. And I've talked to candidates in all those races. It's the number one issue. Are we going to have law enforcement that is effective and can get the job done? No one is asking about police abuse or supposed abuse or anything else like that at this point in time. Everyone in this city, they are concerned about the safety of a city that has been largely turned over to non-enforcement. And when you have combine that with the DAs, the district attorneys like Cy Vance and others that just went AWOL in terms of prosecuting people, you've got a real dilemma. Well, my next guest, I'm sure, has some thoughts about this. Brandon Tatum is a former police officer, and he's author of the book Beaten Black and Blue, Being a Black Cop in America Under Siege. That book hits the bookstores in November, but we are honored to have him with us now. And Brandon, thanks, and welcome to Kevin McCullough Radio.
Thank you for having me on.
Give us the context of where this book comes from. What was your background? How long were you on the force? You know, when did you decide to join, and ultimately, why did you retire?
Great question. You know, I grew up not even liking police. You know, when I was 8, I got arrested by police officers, and you know, it came a point in my life where I needed an opportunity. I was open-minded to it. I applied for the city of Tucson, and they called me back, and I did a ride along, and it changed my life. And so Officer Sharpay, who he's featured in the book, he gave me a ride along. He showed me what a hero really looked like, and it really inspired me. And I remember having this conversation with God and saying, this is what I want to do for a living. I want to be a hero like Sharpay. And so in 2011, I became a police officer. I was on the SWAT team. I was a field training officer. I taught new officers at the academy. I was a spokesperson for the police department. And then I felt like God wanted me to go in a different direction. I started to get into politics, and now I speak around the country. And, you know, I wrote a book.
In your assessment of what you are calling an America that's under siege, when did it go under siege, and were there specific events that you feel like kind of maybe there was a brewing of things under the surface, but when was the scab really pulled off? When did it really turn into a full-blown America being under siege?
Well, I think more recently it has become incredibly worse. I think the origin was when Barack Obama was in office, and I remember this affected me as a police officer real time, where Barack Obama was making these references about, you know, Trayvon Martin, and making these references about police acting stupidly and criticizing police without giving context, and really creating this animosity around the country against law enforcement officers. But now you see the whole push after George Floyd and Breonna Taylor and Jacob Blake and some of these notable shootings, you see, or shootings and killings, because George Floyd was a shot. But you see it just going on decline. The political cycle goes through presidential election. People are just using a talking point to bash police because it's easy for them to do that and get in people's emotions. And you've just seen it decline. And police are being targeted. They've been killed because of their wearing a uniform. They're being defunded. And more recently, they're getting targeted with this whole vaccination thing. And it's just been a department, a career under siege.
In almost every instance, and I'm not saying that it was foolproof, but in almost every instance, there was always a situation in which if someone had simply done what the police officer had asked the person to do initially, that there would have been no escalation and probably no violence in the final outcome of those situations. Now, in the George Floyd case, that was different because he was not, in my opinion, behaving in a violent manner. And so I do feel like that there was a need to investigate, prosecute, look at wrongdoing and call what it was as it was. But in a lot of those other instances, people did die. People did, you know, find themselves in an area that was a bad situation. Breonna Taylor, you know, with a drug dealing boyfriend. And almost in every situation, the police officers involved, if there were cops involved, seldom did the wrong thing, especially early on. They gave lawful instructions. They said, you know, don't. I think of the hands up, don't shoot Ferguson case, in which he literally, you know, was trying to take the gun away from the police officer in the midst of the struggle. And I'm curious, from your perspective, both being African-American but also a police officer, is my impression misguided that police officers, even in these examples that we often refer to and use, even in those examples, usually most of the time the police officer was trying to do the right thing, especially early on in the confrontation?
No, I think you're spot on. When it comes to Michael Brown, Breonna Taylor, even George Floyd, if people would just comply with the police once they give you a lawful command, 99.9% of all of these shootings that we see people dying in, they would be alive. Even when officers do wrong, they would still have been alive, because it would have never gotten to that point, especially George Floyd. I mean, they arrested him initially. They were very, you know, cooperative with him. They were nice to him. They were having a reasonable conversation. He begins to resist arrest, kick himself out of the car, ends up on the ground. You know, all of that added stuff, I think, could have been 100% avoided. And there's nobody that could tell me anything different. It could have been avoided if people would just comply. Look, you're caught. When I was a cop, most people that we dealt with, you catch them, they say, okay, officer, I'm caught. I don't want to talk. Or they may talk after we read them Miranda rights. They comply, they go, and they're alive. They may go to prison for a long time, or they may get out, but they're alive. The problem is when people start trying to play the judge, and they try to go to court on the side of the road and trying to determine whether or not they're guilty. Your police officer's job is not to determine if you're guilty. It's to have developed probable cause to believe that you committed a crime, so you have your day in court. So that's what it is. And it's sad that police have gotten a bad name, given the fact that it really wasn't the police officer's fault in many of these cases.
In many of the cases. The book is called Beaten Black and Blue. Brandon Tatum is the author, a former police officer himself, the subtitle being A Black Cop in an America Under Siege, and it comes out in November. Brandon, thanks for connecting with us. We'll have you back. I appreciate your insight on what's happened here and your own personal story. I want people to check that out, but we appreciate your time today.
Yeah, my pleasure. God bless you, and thank you for having me.
All right. Kevin McCullough coming right back. My final thoughts straight ahead.